We have switched the order to accommodate a couple of the council in connection with some other cases they have pending this morning, so we appreciate everybody's courtesy on that regard. The first case we'll call this morning is Don Deverell Martin, a.k.a. Don Deverell Martin, versus State of Texas. If Deborah will please announce counsel.
May it please the court, Mr. David Richards will argue for appellant, and Mr. Wesley will argue for the state.
Thank you. Mr. Richards?
Please the court. I appreciate the court accommodating my schedule. I've got a jury one floor downstairs that's waiting on me, so I'll be very brief. I had assistance in writing this brief, so the writing style is not mine. If the court has any questions about any of the points of error, I think that the primary points are covered adequately in the brief. I did want to mention, however, point of error number five in particular, the double jeopardy argument. Mr. Martin was convicted of many offenses, all sexual in nature, four aggravated sexual assaults, I think four sexual performance of a child, and two indecency with a child by contact. The double jeopardy arguments focus on the fact that he was convicted on in connection with the same incidents of really two offenses, the aggravated sexual assault of a child, and all of these offenses were alleged to have occurred against his granddaughter, who was 6 years old at the time of trial. Four aggravated sexual assaults and two indecency with a child by contact. Two of those offenses, the indecency and the aggravated sexual assaults, appellant claims stem from the same incident, two separate dates. It's very unusual that you would ever have a case in which the offense of aggravated sexual assault would occur without some contact, sexual contact, improper sexual contact between the assailant and the victim. And appellant contends this is one of those cases. This court has authored numerous opinions, the Court of Criminal Appeals, stating that there's a double jeopardy violation in those instances where simply to facilitate the aggravated sexual assault, there is some improper sexual contact between the victim and the assailant. The state gets one conviction, not two. And the problem in these cases, I would contend, stems from the fact that in Texas, you can never tell from a criminal indictment whether or not it's alleging a primary offense and lesser included offenses, or whether it's alleging two separate offenses. The state is permitted to have one indictment in which they group all the offenses together, separate offenses, or they can allege a primary offense and its lesser offenses. And this problem frequently arises because of that. You know, if the legislature was wanted to clarify this area of law, what they should say is one offense, one indictment, and then just have multiple indictments. But they permitted either multiple indictments or one indictment. So that's where this stems from. The state has filed a very good reply brief. In connection with the double jeopardy claim, though, a lot of the state's brief, if you look at it, is directed to whether or not indecency with a child is a lesser included offense of aggravated sexual assault. There's no contesting the fact that it is. And that isn't the question. The question here is not whether indecency with a child by contact is a lesser included offense of aggravated sexual assault of a child. The question here is whether in one act on one particular date, you can obtain both an aggravated sexual assault charge conviction and an indecency with a child conviction, all stemming from the same incident.
In the jury charge, did the court specify a date for the primary offense and what you're characterizing as the lesser included?
I don't think it did, Your Honor. I don't think that, and I say that only because I don't have any memory of the specific in this case, but I don't think that would I don't think that that would normally be the case.
I thought there were multiple dates on the images obtained.
Yes.
Well,
we're not talking about the sexual performance of a child. There's no. I mean, there are collateral attacks on that and other points of error. But for purposes of this double jeopardy claim, the only offenses that claim is directed to are the indecency with the child by contact and the aggravated sexual assault charges, not the sexual performance. There were different dates alleged in the indictment, and there were different dates in connection with these images that were obtained from the computer. But as far as the claims as to when the improper contact occurred, it was in connection with the sexual assault charges. I'm probably not being very clear here, but the sexual performance is not included in the constitutional attack on double jeopardy grounds. There's also a factual sufficiency argument. I'm not going to make a jury argument here. I would, however, direct the court's attention to the child's testimony. The child was kind of all over the place. The most critical portion of the child's testimony, I think, that kind of highlights the problem with the child of that age testifying is on direct examination, where the prosecutor says, "Do you remember what happened?" And she shakes her head no. And the prosecutor says, "Oh, I think you do. Can you tell us what happened?" And she says, "No." And then says, "Okay, can you tell us where it happened? Show me on Betsy," which was a little doll that they had, "where it happened. Can you show me?" "Uh-huh." And then says, "Let me see. Let me take her clothes off. Betsy," and she's talking to the doll, "are you okay with that?" She's okay with it. And the child responds, "No." And then she says, "But Betsy, she's okay with that." And the child says, "I don't want to." You know, later the child, under this type of questioning, does relate that there was a sexual offense committed by Mr. Martin, which is her grandfather. However, on cross-examination, she completely abandoned that and said she really didn't remember that anything occurred. So on a factual sufficiency challenge, you, of course, look at all of the evidence in a case without weighing it, viewing it in a light most favorable to the prosecution. I think it's a close question, but I think that the one issue that's a definite here is the double jeopardy claim in connection with point of error 5. If there aren't any further questions, we'd ask for a reversal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Ms. Wesley?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Kimberly Wesley. I'm representing the Tarrant County District Attorney's Office. Responding to appellant's arguments with respect to the double jeopardy issue, it is the state's position that there was no double jeopardy issue because there were multiple and distinct instances of conduct that occurred, even though they occurred on the same date. The state charged appellant with an ag sex assault occurring on December 16th and also an indecency with the child by contact for the same date. However, the evidence in this case establishes that while the conduct occurred on the same date, there were two distinct instances. For example, the evidence to support the aggravated sexual assault was an exhibit which depicted the victim with her mouth on the appellant's penis. With respect to the indecency with the child by contact, the state introduced an exhibit which depicted the child touching the penis of the appellant.
Wait.
With her hand, Your Honor.
With her hand?
Yes, Your Honor. There was also two offenses which the state charged the appellant, which occurred on May 28th, an aggravated sexual assault based on an exhibit which depicted the victim with her, which depicted the appellant touching the victim's vagina with his penis.
Now, excuse me, the vagina is an internal organ. Are you saying touching her genitals with his penis?
Touching her genitals, Your Honor, yes.
Okay.
With respect to the indecency with the child by contact charge, there is an exhibit which depicts the child reaching behind her to touch the appellant's penis. The state would direct this court's attention to a case which it cited in its brief, Bodenfield v. State. In this opinion, while responding to an issue regarding a jury charge error, this court acknowledged that while two acts in a case may have been committed during the same occurrence, they can indeed support separate offenses. And here, in this case, it was an aggravated sexual assault as well as an indecency with the child by contact. For those reasons, Your Honor, the state would respectfully submit that there is no double jeopardy issue in this case, and the state would ask this court to affirm this issue.
But was the contact between the genitals and penis from behind or from in front? If you remember.
I do. According to the notes that I've taken, it and in my brief, I describe it in more detail. It was the child reaching behind her.
Right, that's the touch.
Yes.
But the contact with the child's genitals, was that from behind or from in front?
I believe it was from in front, Your Honor. That's my recollection. And
okay.
And I've gone into more detail in my brief with respect to the descriptions of what was depicted, what was in the exhibits. Moving on to the factual sufficiency claim. These incidents occurred when the child was 4 years old. At the time of the trial, she was six. With respect to child victims, it's pretty common that at that age, maybe they don't remember everything. However, we do have the reliable statement from the child to her mother, the outcry, in which she told her that it was her grandfather who molested her. In addition, there is the testimony from the examining physician regarding the child's outcry. There are the hundreds of images of child pornography that were discovered on the computer, which was found in appellant's home. There was the testimony from his wife, in which she identified the genitals of her husband in the exhibits.
Was the testimony pretty clear that it was her in the pictures? I haven't read the record yet.
From the victim?
Uh-huh.
Yes, the victim's mother identified her as the child in the pictures, and there's also testimony from the appellant's wife, in which she identified the child as the victim, or the victim that we're alleging the offenses were committed against.
Was there also testimony indicating that maybe from the mother that the appellant would have had access to the child during these time periods?
Yes, Your Honor. There was testimony regarding visits, typically when he would visit when he was on break from his position as professor at a school in the Caribbean. There was also ample testimony from the mother of the child identifying objects in the room that were in her home at the time that the offenses occurred. There was the evidence from the computer expert tying the photos to a digital camera, which was the same make and model that was retrieved from appellant's home, which his wife testified that he gave her as a Christmas present, but which was primarily used by him. And there is ample evidence in this case which would eliminate any concern that the verdict in this case represented a manifest injustice. And for these reasons, Your Honor, the state would respectfully ask that this court would affirm appellant's the judgment of the trial court in this case. There are no further questions. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Wesley. Mr. Richards, rebuttal?
I think I'll wait. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for your arguments and briefing. Your case is submitted, and you are excused.